In the early 60s, after getting a PhD in English from the University of Southern California, Robert Adams returned home to Colorado to teach. But the land was so changed by development and the population explosion that he was compelled to pick up a camera. He began to show his photographs in the early 70s and has been photographing the changing Western landscape ever since. A major exhibition of his work has been mounted by the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Aperture has published the catalog to the exhibit called To Make It Home. In the catalog, Adams wrote, quote, "Developers destroy places where we became and would like to continue to become ourselves," unquote. I asked him if there was such a place in his past.
To be completely specific, there was a place called Ann Evans Lookout, about 20 miles west in the mountains of Denver, where my family used to go and picnic, and I camped there through my early years. It was a wonderful lookout from which you could see a 14,000-foot peak across a grand valley 8 miles across. Subsequently, I went back years after that and discovered that apparently the Forest Service had sold off the area to private holders, and now all I was looking at was a chain-link fence and Dobermans. Is fairly typical of what happened during the 60s and 70s in Colorado.
So how have you taken your cue from that as a photographer?
The thing that I finally decided I wanted to try to do as a photographer was to do really two things. I wanted to be as accurate as I could about the disappearance of the Old West and tell as truthfully as I could the story of the damage that we've done and are continuing to accomplish. Together with that, however, I wanted to make a record of the things that had not changed. It seemed to me it was worth doing both those things, because if you're not honest about the damage, you're just a sentimentalist. But if all you do is talk about the damage, you take away people's hope. And what I would really like to accomplish is to give us an impetus to keep trying. It's never all right to give up.
Some of your photographs are of vast open spaces and beautiful open sky. And you quote Walt Whitman. You quote him as writing, "Overhead, one of those not uncommon yet indescribable skies."
It's absolutely true. Nabokov wrote somewhere that the sky in central Russia, he'd only seen that sky one other place in the world, and that was in Colorado. And there are still days like that.
Well, you don't have to find the words to describe the not uncommon yet indescribable sky, but you have to figure out how to photograph it so that it does the sky justice. What are some of the concerns that you have as a photographer, and what are some of the challenges of getting a beautiful picture showing the sky? And I should mention here, the photographs I've seen of yours are in black and white.
It's true. I prefer black and white. I think the reason being that it allows you a greater degree of abstraction, and the other color photography gives up that power, which I think is too much of a thing to give away. There are just wonderful moments in the West when, in the afternoon, for example, off the Rockies often come in the summer, these great towering thunderheads, and they move slowly eastward. And those can be just riveting to watch, and of course, composing as those things. They move very quickly, and it's sometimes you can get done with a couple of hours of working with that, and you can just be weak from exhaustion because the possibilities are so exciting. On the other hand, there is a challenge to photographing just an empty sky. That's a lot harder to do, really. Clouds are a wonderful sort of music that it's great to work with, but it's sometimes too easy.
So how do you do it when there's no clouds?
Then you have to do something, obviously, with the ground, and I can't really tell you how you do it. It just you have to make something in that rectangle so that the great expanse that's empty is necessary to whatever's down below. So it's in large measure a question of trying to be open enough to new subjects and be, of course, good enough at your craft to record what you want to record, and that takes a while, of course.
One thing I think that you've been trying to do with your photographs is to document the exploitation of the prairie and of the mountains.
We've we've turned everything to use. I'm a socialist, and I don't think the West is going to survive, frankly, in any significant way in the capitalist system, because it doesn't pay to have it survive. Everything can be sold, and it will be sold. It's very sad.
Well, you have one photograph of just an open expanse of land, and there's a little for sale or lease sign
yeah,
on it.
Right. It's amazing. But the real question, though, is what are we to make of this? How are we to keep from becoming just hopelessly depressed by it? And in a measure, I think art helps. It reminds us of those moments that we all have and then all forget, that suggest that the world is still whole despite the ways we've harmed it. But that really is the effort to admit that these things are going on, and nonetheless to find a way still to like life.
It seems to me you have really worked very hard at trying to not be very bitter, or at least to not be overcome by bitterness at how the West is changing.
That's the real issue to me personally. One of Godard's films in the 60s, Le Petit Soldat, I think ends with the protagonist saying something like, "The only thing left is to learn not to be bitter." And in a personal way, I think that is a large part of the issue. Some critic wrote of Philip Levine's poetry that it expressed a constructive bitterness, and short of wisdom, I suppose that's what I'm trying to achieve. Wisdom would be better, of course. One would like to be able to oppose these things that are wrong and then get to the end of the day and be peaceful and accept what has to be accepted and forgiving of what should be forgiven.
You've taken some photographs of vandalism of nature. Now, being an urban dweller, I see vandalism of buildings and subways all the time. But these are pictures of rocks and canyons with graffiti on them.
Yeah, and it's even sometimes more ominous than that. I found myself near Fontana, California once, walking rows of old eucalyptus trees, and almost every one of them had been hit head high with shotgun blasts. But why head high? I kept asking myself. What are they trying to say by this? And it reminded me of how often trees do seem like people, and it was terribly frightening.
Why do you think the trees were shot?
I think in a way because they were like people, because whoever it was with that shotgun was so full of disgust and hate and despair, and that's really what art is about, I think. It's trying to speak to that condition, admitting that there's some justification for discouragement, but trying to suggest that there's a way to sweeten the attitude a little bit.
When you're taking photographs of the beauty that remains in the West, the natural beauty that has remained, how do you go looking for it? Do you take special photography trips just to look for?
It's interesting how one finds photographs. Theoretically, you think you drive along and you'd see something and stop and take a picture. But in fact, what I found is that you can't take a picture unless you're walking. So a car isn't any good except it kind of gets you in the general neck of the woods, and then you just walk. And the thing that tips you off, finally, that there's a picture there is it doesn't have anything to do at that point, really, with philosophy. It's just a fascination with how wonderful that particular scene or object is. A photographer really has to stay open just to the joy of a very particular discovery. And if you're blessed, why, that discovery may turn out to have reverberations out from it and maybe some metaphoric content. But basically, you've got to just love the particular place or tree or stream or whatever.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.